Well, I ask for your prayers again this afternoon. The Lord would bless His word. I enjoy singing about heaven. Sang a song there, "What Will It Be to Be There?" I like to think about it. I like to stop and consider it, and I believe that we're to do that. I believe we're to ever keep heaven in view. One song says, to lift up our troubled brow and to remember the cause that we're fighting for, to remember that it's worth it, to compare our afflictions against the glory that'll be revealed in us. I hear sometimes in the world about folks that are pulling their money together and they're buying lottery tickets. They've collected money, and sometimes at work they put it together in a pool and they're going to buy more lottery tickets with the hopes of increasing their odds of getting it, and they spend their money at it. And of course, the great majority of folks throw their money away like that, and the ones that do win, I'm not convinced it helps them. You know, I've bought a ticket. I've paid the price and obtained the prize. I've counted the cost and I've got a ticket with a winning number on it. One of these days when that number's called, I plan to cash it in and get something that far surpasses anything this world could ever offer. And I'm thankful for that, and I'm working for that, and I don't want to ever lose sight of the glory that'll be revealed in us if we're faithful to the Lord. Written on the board, the words, "worn out." I'd like to look at a scripture I believe that you're familiar with in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 7. I remember the night, I'm sure you do as well, when Lord saved me. Remember the clean feeling. I was young. I remember the clean feeling. I remember the joy, the peace that was just beyond expressing. The feeling of guilt that was gone. I remember that. I remember the hope of heaven. Gone was the dread and the fear of death, and suddenly in a moment, the change that happened, I didn't feel that. I felt carefree and light, and somehow the sting of death was gone now. And I was determined. I remember thinking at one point, "Lord, just, this would be a good time to just take me on home. I'm ready. I'm sure of it. Everything's clear. I feel the joy in my soul. Lord, go ahead and take me now. I'm ready." But you know, it's often not the way that it works. It's many times the Lord has a journey for us to go down. He's got a path for us to walk, and that path many times is not just a short, quick one that I start out for the Lord, and the Lord has been merciful to many people on their deathbeds and given them a wonderful conversion, a wonderful opportunity right there in the sunset of life to get right with the Lord and go on to meet Him. But you talk about gambling, it's a gamble that I'm not willing to take, but I want to make it. I want to make heaven, and I want so badly and desperately to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We each have a promise, but it's a conditional promise. "He that endureth until the end, the same shall be saved." Endurance. There's going to be some difficulty, some battle. There's going to be some time involved there where some endurance is in play. You know, a sprint is much different than an endurance race. A sprint is much different than a marathon. To start out with a flash and with a bang, and I go and I give it my full out effort for just a short distance, and then it's over. And the prize is won or lost there in a short time. But for many of us, this life and living for the Lord is different than that. This is a marathon. This is a long-term endurance race, and it's the one that endures until the end, the same that will be saved. So I'd like to look now in the book of Daniel, the 7th chapter. Some of the visions, the dreams that Daniel had, won't spend a whole lot of time on those, but I'd like to pick up here in the 23rd. We'll start in the 22nd verse, Daniel 7 and 22. Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and shall subdue 3 kings. You read in the second chapter of Daniel about the dream that the Lord gave unto Nebuchadnezzar. He saw the dream, the vision by night, and he didn't understand it. It troubled his spirit. He knew that there was something to it. There was something of conviction or something. It was from the Lord. The Lord, by visions of the night, I think of a passage in Job where it talks about the Lord, he wakeneth mankind in the night to try to turn them from their purpose, from going down to the pit. And the Lord, unto a Babylonish king, he revealed that vision. And that vision, if you'll recall, was one of a statue that it was made of different parts that foretold of the kingdoms that would lead up to the time of Jesus and his coming to earth. And in that day, in the days of those kings, it says there in Daniel 2, that the God of heaven will establish his kingdom, a kingdom of a different nature and of a different type, that he would establish in the earth, and this kingdom would never be overthrown. It would never be conquered. It would be something that would endure. In a world where so many things don't endure very long, businesses start up and they flourish for a little while. Some of them endure and some of them don't. Bankruptcy courts are kept pretty busy. Marriages will start, and so often, as is the case in our world, it doesn't last very long for many people. But I'm thankful there's something that does endure. I'm thankful to serve the author and finisher of my faith. He's able to, what he starts, he's able to complete. He's able to perform that work that he's begun in you until that day whenever he calls us home. I'm thankful that the Lord has the grace. He has the strength. He has the spiritual stamina, the endurance to be able to make it all the way through until the end. So we read here in the 7th chapter of Daniel something of some similar language. And this is a vision now given unto Daniel as the Lord was revealing prophecy to Daniel. And there's so much, and I won't say that I fully understand the visions from start to finish, but there's so much in this that foretold of the kingdoms that would come and the setting in which Jesus would come and establish his own kingdom. But I want us to notice here, he says of that fourth beast, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms. There's something now that's been established and set up that's different than all the others, different than the other kingdoms, different than the other kingdoms that are ruled by a king and a literal kingdom that's set up and established. It says, and he shall devour the whole earth and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. There's some authority, some power that's given unto this authority or unto this beast or this image that's seen in this dream. It was something of a power. Let's read on. It says, shall subdue the 3 kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High. So we see that this is not talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, but this power, this authority is said would have the ability to speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. If you look, there's very parallel language in the book of Revelation of the beast that would be given characteristics like unto a man. He's able to speak. He has a mouth. He's able to speak blasphemy against God, but he's also able to deceive the kingdoms of the earth, the people of the earth, by means of the miracles that he was able to do. He was able to deceive. He was able to bring blindness and confusion upon men's hearts. It was something of a different kingdom. The Roman Empire at the time of Jesus' birth and his life here in the earth. And then you fast forward to the time of the apostles and what was happening unto many of them, all but one of them. as we understand it from history, lost their life as a martyr for the cause of Christ. As persecution began to break forth and the effort of the enemy to stamp out Christianity, trying his best to quell this, to put it down, to stamp it out, and yet there was another kingdom that had already been set up in the days of Jesus. And that kingdom could not be stamped out. It could not be put out. Aren't you glad today to be part of that kingdom? I want to be part of that kingdom that shall forever last, that shall blend from time to eternity, that if I'm in this kingdom, if I'm part of the kingdom, this king has never lost a battle. And he's going to carry us all the way through to judgment with victory if I'll stay in the army of the Lord. But it said that this beast, the one that was opposing this kingdom, the enemy has always been opposed to God's work and to God's people. He's always had a way that he's been trying to take down God's people through many, many different modes and means. The enemy here, as he tried through pagan Rome to stamp out Christianity through persecution and martyrdom, it didn't work, did it? It didn't work. The church continued to spread, and the Lord was able to use what the enemy purposed for destruction. He was able to use to spread the gospel, that those that were there concentrated locally, that they began to go out and to spread the gospel message, that others who saw the conviction in the lives that they lived in the face of persecution, that they were convicted, they were convinced, and the Lord was able to get a hold of them. But the enemy's not done. The enemy doesn't sit by, as we mentioned this morning. The enemy just go off and declare defeat, and he'll accept that, and that's the end of him. He's going to come back. We can be assured that the enemy will come back. And so he did here, by a kingdom of a different nature. One that was inherited by the power of that Roman government, the Roman Empire, but yet it changed its nature. Now it took on a religious spirit. It took on a religious atmosphere. The devil can also look religious. The devil doesn't mind coming to service. This is a place where the devil likes to sit and to try to whisper in our ear and to try to sow division and discord and try to snatch away the seed that's planted in our hearts. The enemy knows how to take on himself the cloak of light, to try to appear as an angel of light. And so he did. In a dark period, it says he had speak the great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. And again, a parallel to Revelation that talks about 1260 years, a long period of time in which the enemy was persecuting the church, but through a different means or a different mode, a different authority than what he had used before in the early time of the church. It was a time of darkness, a time where the word of God was not readily available and accessible. There was a persecution that the enemy was trying to persecute the church. He was trying to suppress it through a religious spirit. But yet the Lord was able to nourish and sustain those who would be true and faithful all the way through it. And so he's still able to today in our time, in a day in which we see paganism, humanism rampant, we see religious spirits, we see Babylon on every hand, we see papal authority that is still thriving today, yet in the midst of it all, the Lord is able to preserve an honest soul. But I want us to particularly notice, as you probably have, the scripture, the part of the scripture there that says, his purpose, his effort, would be to wear out the saints of the Most High. I'd like to look at scripture in Job chapter 14, just to tie into this. Job the 14th chapter, the 19th verse. Start with the 18th. Surely the mountain falling cometh to naught, and the rock is removed out of his place. You know, we look on stones and boulders, and it seems like they're so solid and secure. But you know, there's a force that's able to overcome boulders and rocks. You know, if you give it enough time, and let the elements of nature work. They're able, by the process of freezing and thawing and just the elements of nature over time, you know, it can create fissures and cracks in those rocks that over time will divide it apart. And we see it, it's called erosion. We see it on the face of the earth. You get water that runs through a place and it cuts away the ground, but it can do it also on the hardest of rocks. And the scripture says here, the waters wear the stones. Thou washest away the things which grow out of the dust of the earth. The water is able to wear away the stone. That which is hard, which you would think is solid and secure, but yet by a continual dripping, by a continual wearing of the water across that rock, it's able to wear it away. We're not talking here today of a tactic of the enemy. That's like what they knew in World War II called Blitzkrieg. Blitzkrieg was that. It was lightning war. Whenever they would come in by shock and awe and try to, with such fury and such mobility, to come in so quickly that they would scatter and confuse the people and be able to, in just a short amount of time, to be able to turn the battle. The enemy will work that way as well. But keep in mind, the enemy has many different tactics. We are not ignorant of the enemy's devices. We should not be ignorant to realize the enemy will try to come in. He'll try to overwhelm us. He'll try by the circumstances of life. He'll try to bring things to us that just seem to absolutely overwhelm me. But yet, as David said, when I was overwhelmed, I cried, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. There's grace for those overwhelming moments of life. But the enemy also tries to work in this way. It's not blitzkrieg. It's not lightning war. But it is a long, sustained, relentless attack on the people of God. That's what the enemy was trying to do here. By the religious spirit and system that was in place, by the spiritual opposition that they were encountering, we'd like for our battles to be short ones. Lord, deliver me quickly. But are we willing and determined, however long this battle lasts, whatever opposition I face, I want to stand firm and I want to stand true. I don't want to allow the dripping of the water to wear away my stone, to wear away my determination, where I can think today that I'm solid and I'm steadfast and I'm not going anywhere. But be careful of the tactic of the enemy in this way as well. We can be susceptible, if we're not careful, by that process of erosion that happens very slowly, that I don't see it immediately. I don't see the enemy coming in with an overwhelming force, and I know I've got to do something then. But it's slow. It's gradual. It's something that happens very slowly and almost imperceptibly over time. He wants to wear us out. He wants to get us to a place by just repeated, sustained attacks, one after another, by relentless pressure upon us. That maybe at first I don't yield. Maybe at first I stand firm. But he's patient. If you can say it, and it's not a virtue when it comes to the enemy. He's patient. And he'll work relentlessly upon us. He'll continue for years upon end. If I can just wear away, if I can start to wear away their faith. You know, the enemy is trying to erode the faith of the saints. Little by little, he wants to undercut. He wants to undermine little by little. Knows that he can't. Many times, if we're strong in faith and standing for the Lord and encouraged in the Lord, what's the enemy going to do with a saint like that? But if he can get little by little, by just unrelenting pressure, that over time, I start to erode away. That one little layer after another, my determination, my will to fight, my joy can start to erode away. Today, are you worn out? You ever get to a place that you sometimes just feel like I'm worn out? Been fighting a battle for a long time. The enemy would like to get us to a place, individually and as the people of God, just we're worn out. May the Lord help us that we stand firm and true. You know, the strongest steel by a slow process, can be eaten away to nothing. You let the elements work. You let the water work. You let a little salt especially get in there and work, and it starts to rust very slow, very slowly. But that rust will start to develop, and more, sometimes it's even a surface rust, maybe underneath the paint. You've ever encountered that on a vehicle? That over time, it slowly starts to eat away until it affects the structural integrity of the whole. The enemy would like to try to eat away at us, at our faith, at our determination, our zeal. He'd like to eat away at it little by little. May the Lord help us that we recognize, first of all, the devices of the enemy, the tactics of the enemy, that I would examine not just the fast movements, but Lord, is there any place in my life that I've started to erode, that I've started to become worn out? Proverbs talks about the contentious woman several different places, and it likens it to the continual dropping. Something similar to the language here. A continual dropping. Drop. Do you know that's a form of torture? I've heard, I don't remember which culture it is, but they've used that as a form of torture. And you think, well, if you're going to torture me, fine, drop some water on my forehead. See what that does to me. But do you know over time, that supposedly has such a profound effect that it can drive you out of your mind. And it's used as torture. Do you know the enemy would be satisfied to just drop by drop? Drop by drop. But he's regular with it. Day after day after day after day. The process of life. I can start to just feel worn out. The contentions of a woman, or the contentious woman, are as a dropping. And it made me think about Samson. Samson, as we mentioned this morning, mighty man. God gave him divine strength. Wasn't able to be conquered by his enemies. But by a woman that he allowed his heart to go out after. By a woman that came continually to him. That came to him the first time. Tell me the secret of your strength. Shouldn't that have been enough to say, I'm done. I'm out of here. You're moving out. We're not doing this. I know what you're after now, but no, I'm not going to tell you. And so he withheld it from her. Withheld it from her, but yet he still kept his heart attached. He withheld the information. I'm still going to keep myself. No, I'm not going to tell. This is still sacred to me. But yet by repeated dripping, drip, drip. Oh, Samson, come on. Samson, come on. And I'm still working with him. I'm still pleading with him over and over. Second time, well, I'm still not going to tell her. Was it the third or the fourth time that finally, by that continual dropping over and over, he had eroded. He was worn out. And so he said, all right, here it is. I'll give it to you. I'll tell it to you. May the Lord help us that we not respond to the enemy's tactic of wearing out like that. That I not get to a place, okay, I've had enough. I've had enough. I'm just tired of dealing with it. I'm just tired, folks. If we're going to be true to the Lord, it's going to be like that stick in a river of a strong current that's standing upright. The current all around us is pushing. There's a continual force, a continual pressure on us to conform to the world, to conform to the ways of the world's thinking, to accept the tolerance that the world calls tolerance, to let down a little bit on our stands, to soften the edges of it a little bit, so to speak. It can come as a continual dropping. We hear it on the radio. We see it in the newspaper. We hear it at work. We see it in the stores. We see it on the magazine. And over and over and over, it can be like that drop, 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 drop. That seems harmless enough at first. But if I'm not careful, it'll have the effect of wearing me out. As waters wear the stone, the enemy wants to wear us down. a slow effect by continual pressure, continual warfare. The enemy wants to get us into a place that I'm just worn out. What do we do when that happens? We all face battles. We all face life. We all go through times where the battles get long and they get weary, and Jesus felt the weariness. He felt the tiredness as well. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians, the 4th chapter and the 16th verse. It says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Thank the Lord that there is a renewal. That there is a one that we can come back to. Whenever I'm worn out and I'm tired, that I can come back to the Lord. I can wait upon the Lord. As Isaiah said, wait upon the Lord and He'll renew my strength. Whenever I feel worn out, whenever I start to lose the will to fight, I start to get into a place that I just don't really feel like I have the energy or the stamina to really fight this spiritual battle as I should. In other words, I get into a place that I'm just kind of complacent. I'm just kind of lethargic, and maybe I know I ought to fast and pray through this one, but I'm just tired and maybe a little discouraged. Isn't that kind of what discouragement is? The enemy trying to get in and just wear us out. Wear out our minds. The enemy will try to work on the whole man if he can. He'll try to work on our mind, on our emotions, on our desires. He'll try to surround us by a continual pressure to conform. And again, if we're going to stand true to the Lord, we're going to feel some pressure. If you're not feeling some pressure, what's wrong? Because the strong current of the world's going one direction. And if we're not going that direction, we're going to feel the pressure. And that pressure after a while of a river with a strong current can cut new riverbeds. It can change the landscape of the earth by the continual pressure of that water, as the scripture's saying about the water wearing the stones. May the Lord help us that the pressures of this world, that the relentless attacks of the enemy and relentless pressure that he puts against the saints, that it won't wear us out. That it not change the course of the river, that it not change where I stand, but that I would still be firm and true to the Lord. We've got a cause we're fighting for, a song says. Devil, we're not going to take no more. We've got something that's worth standing for and worth fighting for. And whenever I get worn out, whenever I get tired, you remember the story of, just coming to my mind, and I'm not going to remember the details of location, but whenever battle of, it was either 1812 or Revolutionary War, maybe you'll remember as I tell it. The song, "Hold the Fort for I Am Coming," was inspired by that battle. Whenever they were surrounded, the people inside the fort, they were surrounded. The battle had been wearing on for several days and their supplies were running low and they were getting discouraged and exhausted. And at some point, whenever you see your brethren around you falling and you see your supplies running low and you look out and you see that the force of the enemy doesn't seem like it's losing any of its steam. You know, it can get you to a place that you start to wonder, is it time to just raise the flag now? Is it time to just say, all right, I'll surrender. There's no way out of this. But it says whenever they were in their darkest time, whenever it looked like all hope was gone, they caught a gleam of something from the mountain side or the hillside across the valley, and it was flashing a signal to them. And that signal was, "Hold the fort, for I am coming. Reinforcements on the way. Just hold on a little while longer. Don't give in. Don't raise the white flag yet. Just hold on a little longer. Don't let the enemy wear you down. Don't let him wear your resolve and your determination down. But hold the fort. Meekly hold the true position, standing firm. Because folks, reinforcements coming. The Lord's not going to let us just be overrun without help. The Lord knows what we're able to bear. The Lord knows what we're able to withstand. And He'll make a way of escape. He'll provide the reinforcement. He'll give us the strength Sometimes it seems like, Lord, we've already passed that time. Lord, I needed that yesterday. I don't know if I can make it now, but the Lord knows. Folks, trust in the Lord. Wait patiently on the Lord and we will be able to renew our strength to mount up with wings as eagles. They rallied by that, by the sight of that message that said, hold the fort. There was something that gave them a renewed encouragement, a renewed determination. Let's hold on a little while longer. Don't give in. Don't give up the battle, folks. Let's establish right now, I believe that our desire is, defeat is not an option. Surrender is not an option. Let's go ahead and burn the white flag because I'm not going there. I'm determined by God's grace and His help. I'm going to hold the fort. I'm going to hold this position. Having done all to stand, stand therefore, stand firm and true in that position until reinforcement comes. Sure enough, here they came just in time. And they were able to rout the enemy. May the Lord help us that we would be renewed from day to day. Folks, we all need renewal. We must be able to have that source that I can go back to and say, Lord, I'm tired. I'm feeling discouraged. Lord, my faith is weak here. Would you help me? Would you renew me? Although the outward man perish, although it shows the effects and the toll of war and battles, and I've got some scars to show it, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I love the story of Caleb. Whenever Caleb was 85 years old, and he came back and he had been through the wilderness wandering through the wilderness at the expense or because of the disobedient and the unbelieving, and yet he came back when he was 85. Retirement age, isn't it? Time to sit back, time to relax. You're tired, you're at the end of life now, you've already fought your battles. But yet he said, although I am fourscore and 5 years old today, I'm still just as strong as I was back then. And he said, give me this mountain. There was something within Caleb that although age had set in, although he was becoming an old man, that there was a source within him that renewed his strength and renewed his faith. His faith hadn't diminished. His eyesight, his vision of the things that God had promised had not diminished. And neither does it have to for us. Whenever we go through our lives, that we may look a little worse for the wear, but I can still say by God's grace, I'm encouraged. I'm pressing on. I'm determined. I'm not giving up. The Lord is increasing my faith and strength and grace, but we must be willing to stand firm, to not be worn away by the continual pressure of the enemy. You pray for me. Amen.